Blog Talk Radio.
Now there are plenty of available princes in the world.
Hello? Are you there?
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 my ass, me have a compass again with the new style. Le, hey, 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 every time I see you, I just fall in love. You do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't take a low. You do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't take a low. Early man, they give you the reason. Your love, they give me the season. This time, na so so wahala. Baby girl, they give me the fever. Baby girl, can I have your number so that we can see the club together? Make her feel you, make you feel me. Wine, wine, dance, dance at the club, right, right. Baby girl, can I have your number? Come on, show gacha for me. Yawo me, yawo me, yawo me. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. You see, yawo me, yawo me, yawo me. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. It do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't take a low. It do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't take a low. My jayori mi, my jayori mi. I'm a so bad, eh, I just had love. Yawo me, yawo me, yawo me. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. You see, yawo me, yawo me, yawo me. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. It do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't take a low. Omo na one by one we dey go. Omo na me and you na today. Omo jaja yo lo baka de jaye omo mo de ma de ba o dele. Eli ma don come again now. Eli ma don come again now. Now we see na de fine baba don't do am for me. Yawo mi, yawo mi, yawo mi. Every time I see you, I de fall in love. You see yawo mi, yawo mi, yawo mi. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. It do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't take a low. It do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't take a low.
My two with a flash with a fine. With a flash with a fine. You are listening live to The Divine Grant.
Azunke parin le gbae azunke parin le gbae parin le gba mi la jan ka se wo so azunke wale le parin vodu le gba
azunke parin le gbae
azunke
Bye-bye.
parin vodou leg ba.
Azunke, parin leg ba
e. Eh, azunke.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are listening now live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Udu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective. Standing that all is truly and indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about reality, real eyes, reality. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my work, my demonstration along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. That place where I begin. That place where I crystallize, realize, materialize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny. I and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is Monday, April 7th. 2014, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Hoodoo Central, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and enchanted, most haunted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana. We like to call it Motherland in the New World, for indeed, it doesn't get any closer to Africa in the New World than New Orleans. And that is one of the reasons why I am here. That is one of the reasons why I stay here. That is one of the reasons why I support here, New Orleans, and all that we are and all that we do. I appreciate those of you who continue to join me here live and also in archive, day in and day out, even through technical difficulties. I do apologize for yesterday's show. I actually went back and listened to that show, and the audio I'm not quite sure what the issue is with the audio. I did send a message through to Block Talk Radio, but I would appreciate getting a little bit more help from my listening audience in terms of audio and how I sound. If I'm not coming through clear, then, you know, I'm wasting my time. So if I'm not coming through clear, please send me an instant message, email. You can email me at divineprince@houseofthedivineprince.com. You can message me on any of the services, Windows Live, Yahoo, Facebook. Just let me know that, you know, I can be heard or I cannot be heard and that there might be an issue with my sound. But I am going to mark more specifically what I do in terms of audio and see if I can find out what the issue is. So today I am broadcasting from my cell phone. So if you use that as a reference, I'll have some clarity. You did a show from your cell phone and it was clearer. then, you know, supposed, you know, the mic, Skype, any of the other mediums that I have used to do the show. It may be the Skype, it may be the mic directly plugged into the computer. But as soon as I can figure out what it is, I will replace it or get rid of it and try to do better moving forward in terms of clarity in audio. I am broadcasting live, so I can receive your live calls at area code 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, you press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and at that time, I will then acknowledge you. I will otherwise assume that you are enjoying the show, listening to the show, and monitoring the show, and I will let you do so in peace. But those of you who do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, I will open your mic. I'm flooded with many emotions, imagery, symbolism. Spirit is talking. Spirit is always talking. But spirit is talking in a much more profound way. And I don't mean today, Monday, April 7th, but in this season, in this time, in this place, where we are in the time-space continuum, if you will. I've done many shows about time, so time is a very relative thing for me when I start using the word time. In any context, it's always deeper than that. It's always more complex than that. It's always multidimensional. Science has proven that time is often relative to location. We are not sharing the same location. You are listening to my show where you are. You're experiencing this moment where you are. So we are not all sharing, quote unquote, the same time. Linear time is an illusion. It falls under that thought of an illusion that I make reference to at the beginning of the show. Pain, joy, activity, stress, you know, all these things, the weather that I often refer to as the weather. Life is weather, and weather comes and it goes. Weather is one of those things that is not entirely within our control, if at all within our control. We have master rainmakers from various cultures, people who can purport to stop storms and other various spiritual skills. But generally speaking, weather is out of man's realm of control, if you will. It's one of those things that keep us grounded and remind us that there are greater forces at work than communicate. And to all of us, we have been fine-tuned, if you will, to hear, just as a musician is fine-tuned to hear. I have a sister who can hear a note and can identify it right then on the spot in the air. I can do it. I'm not sure if I can do it as well as I did when I was younger, but I can. But that applies, again, multidimensionally to many various aspects of life. Some people can hear authenticity. Some people can hear truth. Doesn't mean they necessarily have to understand it or can break it down and can explain it, but they can identify it. Talks to all of us, our ability to decipher, our ability to remain still enough to hear, our ability to translate the language, if you will. Spirit will often come in a diversity of language, because life is a diversity of language, spoken word, written word, rhythmic word, harmonic word, foreign languages, symbolism, all various forms of language. So hearing from spirit, deciphering spirit, revealing what comes through in a divination, is a complicated, well-studied process. Doesn't matter what your gift is. Many of us were born with a gift. I was born with a gift. And that gift began manifesting for me at 2, 3, 4 years of age. But I still had to be trained. I still had to humble myself to the process of learning. Even within, we learn to walk. We learn to talk. We learn to use our hands. We learn to refine our skills. So, indeed, this does apply to spiritual art, to sciences. And we're in a very unique time of speaking, of spiritual speaking, of spirit speaking to us as individuals, as groups, as communities, as organizations, in all the various. Often, let me give a quick sidebar. When I start going into adjectives like that, those represent dimensional spaces of reality and understanding. I live on one side of the street. My neighbor lives on the other. Our sharing of time space is relative to where we are. She sees what happens from her perspective. I see what happens from my perspective. And this is what then opens the doorway to learning, to wisdom, to expertise, to mastery of a particular skill. And we all not going to master the same skills. My ability to be fluent in spiritual sciences may not be as fluent in math, may not be as. And when I say math, arithmetic specifically, because, again, that's a whole interdimensional realm of understanding. Are we talking about arithmetic? Are we talking about are we talking about geometry? Are we talking about chemistry? So we have to be very specific in our knowledge, in our awareness, in our understanding, in our seeking of information. In our studying of information and our taking on of information, it is a lifelong process. It's not begin and end. It does not have a start and a stop. It is not seasonal, if you will. Linear time is set up seasonally. Linear time is an illusion. We think of school, September to June, if you're in. Think of semesters. Trimesters if you're at the university level. But knowledge education is a 24/7 activity. It happens through experience. It happens through observation. It happens through trial and error. It happens through practice. We live in a time of great availability. That's a good word, availability. Many things are available, positive, negative, good or bad, healthy, unhealthy, but available nonetheless, real, unreal, generic, copied, manufactured by hand. We live in a diversity of avenues for experience and taking on information and being exposed to. I often talk about the internet and its ability to flood us with superhighway of world information, right at your fingertips, right within your phone, right within your tablet, right within your laptop, right within your house with your desktop, wherever you access that superhighway. So there's a lot of work in our deciphering, in our interpreting, in our understanding, in our making sense of what we are being exposed to. And we live in a very paced existence. When we compare the city life to the country life, when we compare living in the Western world to living in the developing world, when we compare income, if you will, affects the pace at which we see and experience, stand, and interpret all these points of light, all these points of information that come at us. So many of us have become solely reactionary in our response to all this stimuli. We seek the doctor only when we get sick. We seek the spiritual practitioner, the psychic reader, the diviner, only when we are under pressure. Things are apparently going well. It's not even necessarily just going well. Some of us are just busy in activity, and they're always tired or always stressed, never really see the light at the end of the tunnel. So I guess to say when things are going well is an overgeneralization. Too many of us are just caught up in too much activity to really stop and analyze what's working and what's not working, what is useful and what is not useful, what needs to be discarded and what needs to be better stored, better protected, better taken care of. And this thinking, this mindset translates into, you know, affects how we view how we operate in spirituality and religion. And I would dare say spirituality and religion is probably just as important as air. This is important as water. It is how we view, understand, relate to, communicate with life and life experience. We're in a day and time, we're in a season where that's not popular, and we're mixing up what religion is. It's now politics. It's really politics that you all are discussing, not religion. Religion requires a whole nother language. Religion requires a whole nother place of understanding. Spirits say that those who know me the best, friends, family, people I've been in ministry with for decades, are often my most difficult clients. You would think that through experience, through seeing, through having been there, through seeing where Divine Prince was in 1980 and then where he was in 1990 and then where he was in 2000 and then where he was in 2010, their understanding, their interpretation of spirit, of time, of the law of nature, if you will. But it doesn't. We're very individual in our abilities to see and understand and interpret what is happening to us, what is happening around us, and then how to even move forward and address that. So it takes a unique person to open themselves up to assistance, to open themselves up to some type of training, to open themselves up to some advice, and then to be able to apply that in a clear and concise way without losing self in that process. I think one of the problems with politics and religion is that we tend to, by seeking the shortcut, lose ourselves in the process and our own individual and personal responsibility to the journey that is life. We need to seek assistance from time to time. We need to research. We need to be shown things. We need to understand things. We need to be taught things. Then there becomes a moment, a time, a place where we graduate, if you will, and then apply that in a very personal, individual, autonomous way to our journey, to our experience. And that's where you begin to get the blessing. That's where you begin to have the experiences, the life experiences that solidify what you know. If you don't have the opportunity to put what you know into practice, you know, you think you know something, you think you have some understanding of it, you think you have some clarity of it, but that does not supersede experience and really putting things into real-time, real-world practice and activity. Fall back on religion, spirituality, the practitioner, the emergency room, during the emergency event, and then not take the time, the effort to rebalance that thing so it doesn't reoccur, or does it happen in a different way the next time, or that we apply the lesson, then we are sort of stuck in limbo and we're spinning our wheels. And we waste a lot of time, resources, effort, and money. Me and a very close friend, family, ministry partner of mine were talking about this briefly yesterday in terms of initiation. Many people politicize initiation, rally against it. Some are for it, some, you know, are confused about it. Some are, you know, debating the money and the travel and the time. But ultimately, initiation is going to happen, whether you get on that plane, whether you travel, whether you find that aluo, that babalao, that practitioner that's going to then lead you through that journey. Life, spirit, the ancestors, the deities are going to take you through that journey, no matter who you are, and particularly if you are purporting duality, purporting any connection to that journey. So we can avoid, if you will, the travel, and for whatever reason you choose to do that, we can make all sorts of excuses for not doing the work, for not having the resources for doing the work, for not having the time for doing the work. But ultimately, it's life experience. And it will often come back through that negative event that we now are forced into a place of confrontation. And many of us don't get outside of that. You're battling from birth to death, and you never really have the opportunity to enjoy your wisdom, to apply your wisdom, because you're constantly in the battle mode. We're not saving for the rainy day. We're not preparing for the future. We're not, you know, making preparation for the next leg of our journey. We're living in the now. And Western culture sort of influences that to a great degree, our living in the now and not being concerned about, you know, just pop an aspirin, just take an antacid, you know, and we call it living life to the fullest. And rationalize that in some weird kind of way. When living life to the fullest is taking best advantage of that you have access to, taking best advantage of what you have, planting that seed and then having it grow, having it multiply. It's not just getting by to the next moment, getting by to the next day, if you will. So it's important that we, and I say it all the time, I try to find new ways of saying it, but it's important that we get serious. We say that we are serious about and really give it its 100% effort so that we can begin to see results, share results, and then grow on those results to the next thing. Not have to continue to battle finance, continue to battle what's going on in your love and your relationship house, not having to continue to battle homelessness and your housing and not being secure, all those things that make life worth living and give us a sense of fulfillment and stability so that we can then focus on creating, building. Being a Mardi Gras Indian and sewing has really taught me a lot about this very topic. You've got to live, and you've got to eat, and you've got to pay your bills, but then you've decided now you're going to mask Indian. You're now initiating into this tradition, and now you've got to buy beads, plumes, and feather, and fur, and fabric, and thread, and sewing needles, and all this equipment that now goes with this process. That's before you get to the finish line. That's just buying your supplies. And now you've got to sow. And you've got to sow. And you've got to sow and meet a deadline. And any Indian will tell you it takes a year. Me and Kalinda would tell you it takes 2 years to do one suit. So understanding balance, scheduling, budgeting, having a priority, having a checklist, all those things are exaggerated within that dimensional realm of Indian sewing, Indian masking. And you've got to find a way to do that and then continue to live to do that and then manage to still do all the things that you normally do. So, and still reach your radio audience every day. Continue to do acting jobs and performance jobs, but realizing you've got a deadline to meet for Mardi Gras, for Super Sunday, for coming out, St. Joseph's Night, with this immaculate Indian suit. And it's a very good symbol of what life is and having a purpose, whether it's being an entrepreneur, whether it is being an entertainer, whether it is being a politician, whether it is being an educator, a master teacher, finding a way to balance the necessary effort go into that with living everyday life is a challenge which requires discipline, order, meditation, getting quiet sometimes and thinking about what you're doing, thinking about what you have to do, seeing what's on your plate clearly. And if your life is in a constant state of making the bills, constant state of stress, constant state of drama, you don't have a clear, balanced way of doing that. I implore you to get serious today. Get serious about what you want to be serious, and then let us help you to move that forward. I will be forward with more Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here on Blog Talk Radio. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Rise up to dance to my new Fuji garbage. Rise up to dance to my new Fuji garbage. Rise up to dance to my new Fuji garbage. Rise up to dance to my new Fuji garbage. I go dance with my city, oh. Me, I go dance with my city, oh.
Divine All Blessed, I am always humbled and honored by your continued support and listenership of the Power Lunch to New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here on Blog Talk Radio. As always, my live listening and calling number is area code 347-215-8977. And you are ready with your question, comment, or request. Do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will be more than happy to address you. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Sola y desde, no quiero irte.
Because it is through initiation that we begin to gain access to the very basic foundational principles of the tradition. And then with that knowledge and your extra research and your experience and your travel and your book reading, you then have something to balance that against. You have something to measure your knowledge against. You have something to sort of balance or confirm, if you will, the presence of an idea, of a philosophy, of a concept, of a symbol throughout a diversity of tradition. We live in a day and time where we tend to look for separation, and particularly in ATR-based traditions. We try and highlight what separates Palo from Vudu, from Santeria, from Ifa, from Lokomi. And often the reason for doing so is not genuine. It's not healthy. It's not for a positive, affirming reason. It's for position. It's for ego, to place ourselves in a place of being able to say, well, I know something, I've received something, I've paid for something that you don't have, therefore I'm a separate than. But when you actively are a participant, actively doing your homework, then those sort of tricks and maneuvers don't affect you, don't work with you, because you know the truth behind the system. So often I can hear within the question, you know, within the first paragraph, where you are, where you've been, what your level of exposure to the knowledge of the past is. And anyone who's actively within the traditions should also be able to do that. It's in words. It's in phraseology. It can be as simple as a picture. I post many pictures without text, that because they have some level of understanding of what's being posted. Now, to try and go into that in any real detail with someone who is not initiated, it's not a ego thing. It's not a, you know, we know something you don't know, but it would take volumes, encyclopedias of information for me to bring a random observer up to understanding of certain things that we post, that we talk about. And there are many reasons for that, both spiritual and man-made. But in terms of the spiritual, I think it allows for spirit to work. The reliance, the excessive reliance on man's intervention. At some point, your faith, your wisdom, your magic has to begin to work for you. You got to move beyond the whining and the complaining and the criticism and the judgment to a place of tranquility and understanding within your path, whatever that path is. I don't make a supreme judgment of one path being greater than another. I do look at and make some judgment about how you're operating within your assumed and professed level of understanding. Assumed, because I see things, I make my own judgment, I make my own understanding, but we assume certain levels of understanding on people. You know, we assume that's Baba because he's got certain really ethnic-looking pictures on his page. We don't always understand what does it take to become that. What does it take to earn that title? What does it take to not only earn that title, but then fulfill and walk within that role? And that's for all of us, wherever we are on the journey. Student, master teacher, we're all reaffirming our existence every moment of every day, reaffirming our commitment to the traditions that we profess every single day. But then when people come and they say, well, I am, and they got a title, and, you know, they present a position, and then they ask questions that suggest that they don't have even the most basic elementary understanding, that's where the politics comes in, the ego comes in. All the other cloudy, murky stuff that prevents those of us who are within the tradition from growing in a healthy way and those who are trying to get here from even getting on board, from even finding a place of understanding, fully challenged with the student initiate as I am with the master teacher, with the so-called leaders, with the so-called elders, who are not always living up to that understanding. And it's really about balance. Balance. Let's go back to the beginning in our understanding, if you will. Talk about the ascended ancestors. We don't talk about the root deities, if you will, enough. Over the last 5 years here on Blog Talk Radio, you've heard me make reference to the Orisha romance. We have an Orisha romance on the West. And people, even those who have the most limited of understanding or knowledge about Orisha and where they come from and what paths they're present in and how they manifest, we all have a love for Oshun and a love for Shango and a love for Eshu and don't always have the understanding, the platform to sort of propel us forward. It's been a lot of time doing what some of you refer to as boring shows. I spent a lot of time in reading, a lot of time in text, a lot of time in understanding how to think about this topic of hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo. Not just how to do it, you know, not just how to mix up a gree-gree, not just how to dress a candle, but what else goes into play with that activity at the spiritual level, at the soul level, at the inner level, at the mind level. What else is happening? Because there's more happening than just the motions of a ritual. There's a lot more happening. There's the imbuing of energy, and various paths call that energy different names, but it's commonly referred to as ashe. Ashe. And another reason I make a big deal about the quote-unquote Orisha romance is because it limits our Pan-African world and it limits our understanding of the wealth, the archive of knowledge that lies within Mother Africa. It is more than just Ifa. It's more than just Yoruba. It doesn't begin and end there. It doesn't begin and end in Nigeria. I dare say that it began somewhere else and sort of migrated through Nigeria. Look at Mawalisa. Mawalisa is a profoundly major, major deity in Pan-African religion and tradition that we don't see enough. We don't hear about enough. We don't have the same Orisha romance with. You don't see Mawalisa on Facebook every day. You don't see imagery that represent that understanding, that deity, if you will. And it is critical to understanding any of the paths, Ifa, Akan, Fon, Iwe, and on. So having the root understanding, the basic, is critical. Critical to being able to manifest consistent power, consistent energy, consistent demonstration on a personal level as well as a communal level, material level as well as on a spiritual level. You got to have this understanding. So just for a minute, let's go back for understanding, if you will, because this understanding not only plays into understanding the traditions of the religions, but the philosophy and the mindset and the concepts of balance, of give and take, of karma, you know, why spells work, why rituals work. You have to have this basic Ma'u Lisa are the creator deities of many of these Pan-African traditions, particularly that we honor and romance here in the West. In Dahomey, the Ma'u, which is sometimes spelled M-A-H-U, is a creator goddess associated with the sun and the moon. And we can also trace Ma'u, Ma'u, M-A-H-U, back to ancient Egypt. There was a noble name, Ma'u, and it also represented a gender person, Ma'u. And I think that's very critical to understand, because as we move forward in this lesson, we will begin to hear certain familiarity, certain characteristics that we can find throughout the Pan-African diaspora as it relates to gods and goddesses and deities. And Ma'u Lisa is considered a hermaphroditic or androgynous deity. Ma'u, being a creator goddess associated with the sun and moon, not one being the male and one being the female, as we have westernized, not the sun being male or masculine and the moon being feminine, but being present in one deity and balance. So Ma'u is the creator goddess associated with the sun and the moon. And in some myths, she is the twin sister wife of the male god, Lisa. And both deities are aspects of the same androgynous hermaphroditic deity, Ma'u Lisa. Ma'u and Lisa are the children of Nana Boluku, parents of Hervioso. Hervioso became Aganyu and Shango and all the fiery deities of Cabiocide that we associate with that lightning fire path. So already, just in the first sentence, we can see the complexity of even coming into these traditions and trying to do it to mind, a Western understanding, a quick, you know, what I learned on Facebook, the Orisha Romance, without really taking the time to initiate, study, get under someone, find elders, go through the necessary processes of joining a path, joining a house. And if you can't do that, if you won't do that, if it's not convenient for you to do that, if you got a block to doing that, but you're serious about initiating, then spending many nights up in study, spending months and years in study, you're living like a hermit. You're living like a recluse. I know, because I did that. I've initiated, but I've also lived like a hermit. There was a time that I spent a five-year period of doing nothing but reading and studying, and then not only reading and studying and being able to regurgitate and argue about that and debate about that, but then putting that into practice. Because once you begin to internalize this information, the balances begin to manifest really energetically, prophetically, materially for you in every aspect of your being. And then over time, you learn to direct that energy. So Ma'u Lisa, the creator deities, are the children of Nana Boluku. So let's just for a quick moment, look at Nana Boluku. And again, this is important for our understanding, because we live in a time of division, Ifa, Nago, Lakomi, Haitian Voodoo, New Orleans Voodoo, Halo Mayombe, Candomblé, and they're all at odds. If you are looking on the outside in and trying to make sense of it all, you all are running off future generations of adherence to these paths because they can't see beyond the battle. And we're having that same issue in the Mardi Gras Indian culture, but I'm going to say that for another show. All we're seeing is the humbug. All we're seeing is the battle, seeing or hearing or being taught the tradition, the platform of understanding. What is tradition? What is the history? What is the truth? All we're seeing is the argument. Nanabuluku, sometimes also pronounced Nanan, the clue, is the supreme deity of the Fon from Dahomey. Now, it is imperative to not only learn the religion, learn the path, but then you got to go back and study the Fon, the Iwe, the Yoruba, these various families, these various ethnic groups, various relatives, because many of these paths are specific to family. Family makes sense to us in a Western sense. I say family. I say neighborhood. I say community as opposed to tribe, ethnic group, to what Fon really is. But then when we get here on this side of the water and we start talking about, well, what is Lakomi and what is Haitian voodoo and what is New Orleans voodoo, they are all a mix. All of them are a mix of several different things. Haitian voodoo is not one specific thing. It's not from one specific house. It's not from one specific tribe. You've already got Petwo. You already got left hand, right hand, hot, cold. And then within those traditions, you've got a variety, a diversity of other families, other past, other traditions. So there's a lot of study, a lot of initiation involved to bring some clarity, a balance, and understanding to that. And you can't do that just on an Orisha romance. You just can't. You just can't get that just professing your love for voodoo without showing your commitment for it and without doing sacrifice, without doing ebo. More to sacrifice than chicken, produce and rum and tobacco. There's also the work, the study, the learning of the various languages that are necessary to navigate these traditions. Even within your one path, you're operating within a dozen languages. And you've got to take the time to learn those languages and the specifics of those languages to put that chorus of understanding together. So in Dahomey mythology, Nanabuluku is an androgynous deity creator. Androgynous is going to come up a lot once you start doing your studies. Now, while you're navigating Facebook and Twitter and those political, revolutionary, radical posts, you're not hearing about androgyny. You're hearing about sexual and who's wearing a wrap and who's wearing a dress. And you're hearing the weakness of the Western masculinity. I don't care who you are, black, white, Hispanic. You're operating from a very weak place of masculinity when you're even operating in those conversations. In those discussions, I pay very close attention to who participates in those discussions. And I often advise and have advised, beginning with my own blood sisters and then on to my clients and godchildren and so on, to keep your eye on that guy. I question that guy whose time and that energy and that conversation. There's something else going on there. But when we study for understanding, then we can easily navigate through the foolishness. And many of these creator deities came from androgynous perspectives. And because we did not necessarily or always use written communication, symbolic, marked down, type, in stone, in wood, on paper, on parchment, you know, communication, we often use symbolic communication, carvings, natural places, natural symbolisms that demonstrated language, if you will, then that would not have been easily translated and transferable into English, Portuguese, Spanish, and particularly by those people who originally began to bring over this information. Because originally, we carried it in our bosom in the belly of the slave ship. The oppressors wrote it down. The oppressors made an attempt to document it. And they made an attempt to do so through the glasses, if you will, telescope of their own prejudices. And many of our now modern-day radical, revolutionary, so-called conscious folk, so-called anti-religious folk, are operating with that oppressor's mindset because they've never even given themselves an opportunity to become indigenous in their way of thinking, in their way of seeing, because that takes time and it takes work. It means setting aside children out of wedlock. It means setting aside being oppressive to the boys. It means setting aside chasing women and committing the necessary time and resources and energy to the process of study, of initiation, of manhood, if you will. And that is why many cultures have these coming-of-age ceremonies, entry into the mystery system. It is only in the Western world where we are distracted by so many things that we lack that. So, again, in Dahomey mythology and in many West African traditions, as you will begin to understand as we traverse this journey, Nanabaluku is an androgynous deity, creator of the universe and all that exists within it. Twins were born to Nanabaluku, the moon god Mawu, sun god Lisa. Nanabaluku was also incorporated into the Yoruba religion as Yemaya, the female thoughts of the male creator Ashe. Ashe is not just thank you. It's not just amen. It's not just an affirmation. It's not just something that we say at the end of a paragraph, but was birthed from a Orisha. And there's another word. It escapes me right now that they use. There are the Orisha, the Imole. Imole. I believe it's I-M-O-L-E, Imole. Which is sort of higher than an Orisha, and are often the birth creator deities of the Orisha and the lower. And again, we're using lower and higher. And these are European words that we're trying to make sense of indigenous systems with. So you've got to understand we're speaking several different languages while we attempt to make sense of these traditions. And then we're filtering them through other people's original perceptions of them and now applying a newer, modern-day, more evolved, if you will, consciousness to them. So it's a very complicated endeavor. It's not something you can do on a weekend, beloved. That's something you can do in the summer, my sister. Nanabaluku was incorporated into the Yoruba religion as Yemaya, a female thought of the male creator Ashe, and the effective cause of all further creation. And that is why Yemaya is closely associated with the ancestors in Yoruba tradition. The worship of the deity Nanabaluku spread to the rest of the world, especially through centuries of captured Africans who were purchased and sold all over the Americas. She is celebrated as Nana in Brazilian Candomblé, Jeje, and Candomblé Ketu, where she is pictured as a very old woman, older than creation itself. As Nanabaluku, primordial swamp period in Orisha tradition. Today, the Yoruba religion and all of its branches is still practiced by tens of millions of people all over the world, and Nana Baluku has an honored place in those traditions. But as you do further study, you will often find the word, the term, Nana, particularly in West Africa, is applied to men. And those men will wear garments such as the Mami Wata image, big, wide, bellowing, flowing wraps from the waist down, pretty, if you will, but with feminine imagery, feminine stylizing sometimes on them to demonstrate the androgynous energy of this deity. It is only in the West that we've sort of hardlined that into a feminine persona, and then we act that out in dance, in performance, in drama, in plays, in video, as a female projection. And then those who are not properly initiated, properly studied, who are learning these traditions from the outside in, from the imagery, see the imagery and don't get the mystery, and then perpetuate misconceptions about these traditions. Mawalisa, after creating the earth and all life and everything else on it, became concerned that it may be too heavy, too deep. So she asked the primordial serpent, Aida Wado, to curl up beneath the earth and thrust it into the sky. Now, those of you who been initiated into Haitian voodoo, we identify Aida Wado as a female deity, Dambala, who is the serpent. See, there's a lot of trickery and words going on here. And I don't necessarily mean trickery in a negative sense, negative, positive. It's interdimensional based on where you are and where your understanding is. But there's a lot of trickery in the wording here, a lot of mystery in the wording here, a lot of multi-symbols and multi-meaning, and sometimes what would seem to be opposites acting in concert, and then things that would seem to be continuous are not necessarily the same thing. Hervioso, Shango, Aganyu are not the same deity. So we identify them with similarity. And those who are trying to learn the paths, the religion from the outside only see those similarities and then accept that as the factual truth about the tradition. And that's where you fall into to error. So after creating earth and all life, and then sort of appropriating Aida Wado, the serpent deity, if you will, to curl up beneath earth and thrust it and hold it into the sky, she asked Awe, a monkey she had also created to help out and make some more animals out of clay. Awe boasted to the other animals and challenged Mawo. The Bado, the first woman Mawo had created, saw all the chaos on earth and told her children to go out among the people and remind them that only Mawo could give Sekpali. Sekpali, the breath of life, another word for Ashe. Sekpali. Kabado instructed her daughter, Minona, to go out among the people and teach them about that too. I'm sorry. I'm looking at too many things at once. Minona to go out among the people and teach them about the use of palm kernels. Palm kernels, as you know, became Akin, palm nuts that we use in Ifa. So there are similarities, there are paths and crossroads that intercross among these ethnic groups, among these families, among these deities, among these traditions. So the hardline positions that they are not the same, but they are separate, that they are somehow self-contained entities is not true. The hardline position that they are all the same, that they sort of homogenize, that you can, you know, use Santa Barbara to represent Javioso, to represent Xango, to represent all these similar deities and still get the same results, is also equally not true. Very complicated languages. And I say languages because I think that's the most, it's the easiest way I have found so far to explain it and to help it to make sense to people. You are speaking a multitude of languages at one time to gain a singularity of understanding, which goes against nature. We are not singular. We operate and live within a diversity of universal spaces, dimensional spaces, to create this illusion of singular unification, if you will. And this myth is similar in Yoruba when you go deep into the stories of Yemaya, Aganju, and many other deities. When you go back to Kemet, you go back to Egypt, again, you find the similarity of these stories of these deities in many other tradition. So it's like a tree, if you will, and each branch, Abakayu, Kandable, Bantu, Jeje, Ketu, Kamina, Obia, Palo, Quimbanda, Rastafarianism, Santeria, Spiritual Baptist, Spiritualist Church, Umbanda, 21 Divisiones, Haitian Voodoo, Louisiana Voodoo, New Orleans Voodoo, all branches that share a tree, that share a root. These deities, Babalu Oye, Eshu, Ayasan, Jab, Amiwatao, Batala Ogun, Olorun, Orumila Asun, Oshun, Shango, Yemaya, connect and have a tree with branches and roots like our DNA, like our genealogy, like the Fon, like the Iwe, like the Twa, like the Va, like the Yoruba, like the Igbo, and on and on. So we cannot expect to create an instant. You know, we have instant rice, instant oatmeal. You know, it comes in a box. It comes in a can. What book do I need to read? You know, what two or three books do I need to read to get some understanding of this? It does not come, it will not come that easily. And it is a falsehood to sort of expect it to come that easily and then for us to expect to get absolute results. We've got to initiate. We've got to study. We've got to do the work. I will be forward with more Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo secrets and recipes here on Blog Talk Radio. With the divine prince, all is truly and indeed a blessing. I shame.
Une, Yone, Mute la vie, Papa, Potitina, Mota, Motiva, Tatika, Tabouche, Mute la vie, mes amis.
Ashe, Ashe, I am grateful for your continued support and listenership here to the Divine Prince Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here on Blog Talk Radio. All is truly and indeed a blessing. And as always, when we have interesting topics and detailed information to share, we have quickly run out of time. But I will be present here with you on Wednesday at noon, U.S. Central Standard Time. I will be on the movie set on tomorrow, Tuesday, April 8th. So if I come on tomorrow at all, it will probably be a pre-recorded show. Otherwise, I look forward to meeting you here at the Crossroads on Wednesday at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Congo Square. The Omis Indians. The Omis Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. A sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. The Omis Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. And as the colonizers came, our hosts, the Omis Indians, they pushed aside our hosts. The colonizers came and pushed aside our host and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Les Places de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment, but nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang, we beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square, Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us. Inside the beat of us, our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate. A world heralded by the beat. Be, beat, being, beating, being of black heart drums. Heart, beat, heart, beat, heart, be at this place, be heart, beat, beat. We beating place in new world space. Beating being in place in new world. Preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk. Our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together. Circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end. Connected together and singing, ringing, singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal. Be what we were before we became what we are. Be bambula dance, be banza music, and sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget, even when we can't remember the specifics. We must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy. Must retain and pass on the essential usness that others want to dissipate with out of us. But no matter, no matter how much of us they prohibit, no matter how much of us they prohibit, deep inside us is us. Deep inside us is us. Remains us inside and needs only the beat to set us free. The beat to free us. It is morning, a sun day, a feel without shade, but dark, dark with the people black of us in various shades, eclipsing the sun with our elegance. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. Beat Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Beat. Be.
Well, the realms was met upon by consistent deep meditation and a recognition of the divine within oneself.
Tell you, say we not go go down there, not go down there, not go down there. I and I, sir, me long to buck up on some loyal soldier who a carry out the royal order. Draw them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the father. Me sing again. Me long to buck up on some loyal soldier who a carry out the royal order. Draw them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the father. Me sing say, vampire dressed up in a sheep outfit. I come with a smile, them a big hypocrite. I move on, see, but them not authentic. Me realize that that's a them a opportunist. Now I selfish, them only want selfish. Your smallest demise, I fit them big wish. But time me grieve when we see we have to split. But the mission must be accomplished. Watch this out, me long to book up on some loyal soldier who a carry out the royal order. Road them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the father, me sing again. Me long to book up on some loyal soldier who a carry out the royal order. Road them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the father. Well, it's a golden idea and it's a golden age. Who knew a better man them go and set the stage? Ego and greed of the mind engaged in a pretty meditation that all love in a cage. Art of war, the dynamics of peace. Genuine behavior must be on the increase. More time you must practice where you preach. Dignity, integrity must not just defeat. Me long to book up on some loyal soldier who will carry out the royal order. Go them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the father. Me sing again. Me long to book up on some loyal soldier who will carry out the royal order. Go them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the father. Well, a loyalty we have to use and free Africa. Continent freedom, the people will be happier. More love, more life to the loyalty carrier. Pull up, you go pull up all the barrier, me say. They would have want to be firm, but something still a hold them. Part of the liberty we should have uphold them. Tested and won, and them still never know when code of conduct has been broken, me think say. We long to buck up on some loyal soldier who will carry out the royal order. Go them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the father, me sing again. We long to buck up on some loyal soldier who will carry out the royal order. Position and don't cross the border. An instrument. Can't tell me say a seven when you know say a 11. Can't push me in a hell and then pretend say that a heaven. More than gold and silver is a upright person. Turn your conscience free, then you're not gonna be eaten well. Come make me put everything in a context. Disloyalty is something where we expect, but that aspect we now go accept. From your practice, then you will be perfect. Me long to buck up on some loyal soldier. Who a carry out the royal order. Road them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the father. Me sing again. Me long to buck up on some loyal soldier. Who a carry out the royal order. Road them position and don't cross the border. An instrument me sing. Vampire dressed up in a sheep outfit. Cover with smile but them a big hypocrite. I move up key but them